Good day. I'm John Milan, a member of Shofar Christian Church in Stellenbosch, and it's a real pleasure for me to share a few thoughts from Acts 12 with you. I hope you'll really be fed from the Word of God. I'm talking from Acts 12, as I mentioned, where there are three main sections. In the first one, we encounter absolutely horrible experience of King Herod just putting to death James, the son of Zebedee, brother of John, one of the first disciples. And apparently the motivation was really just to please the Jews. And subsequently, Herod then imprisons Peter as well. The second section, about 11 verses of it, is the miraculous escape from prison, or not escape, but release from prison that God enables, and I believe in response to the prayers that the church fervently offered. The third section of that chapter has Herod dying, and not going to be saying too much about that. But in fact, I will be spending most of my time speaking about a theme that comes through in the first six verses, and it's a theme of affliction. Affliction isn't a word that we use a lot in English language today, but it really has the equivalent in Afrikaans of the word beproeving, and it means to be under pressure, to be in distress, or to have a cause of pain or harm. And I believe that many people feel the time of these 4 months that we have had so far, and obviously with some still to come, as a time of affliction. Time when you've lost a sense of contact with people you love, perhaps lost people to death, perhaps lost work, lost income, perhaps you've lost hope, perhaps you've even lost faith. And if you have, I really welcome you to engage with us, and to engage especially with the Word of God as you discover how good He is. One of the most encouraging scriptures I've encountered through this time and dealing with affliction is in Isaiah 63, verse 8 and verse 9. I'm going to read just the last sentence of verse 8 and verse 9 to you. It goes like this. So He, talking of the Messiah, and therefore Jesus, became their Savior. And in all their affliction, there being the people who He had saved, i.e. the church, in all their affliction, He was afflicted. And the angel of His presence saved them. He redeemed them, bore them, and carried them. And the focus is in all our affliction, He is afflicted. Now, this obviously means a number of things. And I think the first obvious one is that God responds with compassion and with love, and He reaches out to people during their time of affliction. But I think it means something more. And I think, in fact, I'm making use of some of David Martin Lloyd-Jones's input over here, and this is certainly what he says, is that in Satan's thrusts or his attacks to God, he actually does that by attacking the church. And so in some way, our affliction is felt in a very real way by God. Our affliction is felt by the living God, because the only way Satan can get at God is to go after the church. If we look at the importance of our response, I think it's helpful just to say one or two things about Job's life. You know, Job's challenge was not just the loss of family and income and assets and all that he had removed from him, but he had people say to him, renounce God, ignore Him. And that's really what the intention of Satan is in affliction. He wants us to stop trusting God and to stop loving God. And it's in that sense that we must recognize that Job's response demonstrates that our reaction has significance in the victory that occurs in the heavenlies. And that, I think, is encouraging. Now, I'm not trying to say to you that you can't be honest, and when there is hardship in affliction, when you need to weep, that you can. Of course, we must be honest. But you know, Psalm 30 says, weeping lasts for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And it doesn't mean that every 12 hours our cycles of emotion change, but rather that there are times when we mourn, but then we get up again because of who God is. And I think that is just so encouraging. In those times when we are down, we need to remember as well Revelation 12 verse 11, where we read that they overcame the evil one, Satan, by the blood of the by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And in our weakness, we have to really say to God, Lord, I'm struggling, I'm afflicted, I'm feeling it difficult, whatever the circumstances are, please help me. And God does. But we need to also recognize that sometimes the way God answers is not to remove the conditions, and certainly COVID is going to be around, clearly, for longer than what we might have hoped for. But that doesn't mean God isn't with us. And so what I want to close with are two sections of Scripture that speak about God's love. James 15, verse 9, refers to words that Jesus said, and he said, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. Abide in my love. Abiding is almost an image in my mind of casting oneself off, lying back, as one does sometimes into a pool of water, and lying in the love of God. And then some magnificent verses or words from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Paul writes, I pray that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, according to what? The riches of the glory of God, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner person, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may know the height, the depth, the length, and the width of the love of God, which is unable to be known, which surpasses knowledge. You know, I'm convinced that God is busy restoring to the church the discovery of the meaning of what it means to be loved by God and to love him, and to experience that love. Being loved is probably the most fundamental need that there is in a human being. And there are numerous examples of how people have checked the responses to infants when there's love and when there isn't. Don't settle for second best. Pursue God. In Hosea 3 or Hosea 6, and I've forgotten the reference, there is a word that says we've got to pursue God. It almost talks about us hunting, searching, making it our life's passion to get to know God. Remember, it's not God's desire to bring affliction to you. If it were, we wouldn't have read that in their affliction he is afflicted. God wouldn't afflict us if he, by our affliction, feels affliction as well. That's just not even able to be thought of. So bad things don't come from God, but he is with us in the bad times. And so I close with a reference from Acts 14, verse 22, borrowing a verse from Act 14, which is the person who does this in 2 days' time's reference, where Paul states, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And that doesn't mean that in order to become a child of God we have to go through tribulation, but it does mean that we are going to go through it, because we live in a broken world. And Jesus said, thinking of John 16, verse 33, in the world you will have affliction, you will have tribulation, but don't fear. I've overcome the world. The spiritual power of the world has been broken. It may get up to all sorts of things like spreading COVID, like having war. But the point is, it's a lost battle. Jesus has won the victory. Be sure of that. As you navigate these difficult times, reach out to God, reach out to other people, and be encouraged. And as we close, let's pray and ask God to be with us at this time in particular. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word deals with every situation that we face in life, that nothing that is part of what happens to us or happens to your church is a surprise to you or something that you never considered, that you are the same today as you were yesterday, as you are tomorrow, and that we can continually reach out to you, knowing that the power of the victory that you gained on the cross means that we are always on the side of the victory that we have in you. Thank you for your love for us, for reaching out to us. And Lord, I really pray that those listening will experience your love in a new way, in a way that actually helps them to recognize the depth, the height, the length, and the breadth of your love for each one of us. We bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.